introduction. So toward the bottom it says, in conclusion, Bhagavad Gita is a transcendental literature which one should read very carefully. Gita Shastramidam Punyam Yaha Pathet Prayataha Puman. If one properly follows the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, one can be freed from all the miseries and anxieties of life. Bhayashoka Divarjita. One will be freed from all fears in this life, and one's next life will be spiritual.
Jai.
Quoted from the Gita Mahatmya, verse 1. There is also a further advantage. Read together, please.
Gita Jayana Shivasya Pranaya Vamparasya Naiva Santihi Papani Purva Janma Kritani Cha.
Continue. If one reads Bhagavad Gita very sincerely and with all seriousness, then by the grace of the Lord, the reactions of his past misdeeds will not act upon him. Gita Mahatmya 2. The Lord says very loudly in the last portion of Bhagavad Gita,
Sarva dharmam parityajya maam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami maasucha.
Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Thus the Lord takes all responsibility for one who surrenders unto him, and he indemnifies such a person against all reactions of sins.
Malame mochanam pumsam jarasthanam videne sarvelitamritasnanam samsara malanashnam.
One may cleanse himself daily by taking a bath in water, but if one takes a bath even once in the sacred Ganges water of Bhagavad Gita, for him the dirt of the material life is altogether vanquished. Gita Mahatmya 3.
Gita Sugita Kartavya Himanyai Shastra Vistarai Yasvayam Papanavasya Mukhata Mahatmya.
Because Bhagavad Gita is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one need not read any other Vedic literature. One need only attentively and regularly hear and read Bhagavad Gita. In the present age, people are so absorbed in mundane activities that it is not possible for them to read all the Vedic literature. But this is not necessary. This one book, Bhagavad Gita, will suffice. Because it is the essence of all Vedic literatures, and especially because it is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Gita Mahatmya 4. As it is said,
Bharatam Sarvasam Vishnu Vaktravanishritam Gita Gangodakam Pitva Punarjanmanavidhe.
One who drinks the water of the Ganges attains salvation. So what to speak of one who drinks the nectar of Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita is the essential nectar of the Mahabharata, and it is spoken by Lord Krishna himself, the original Vishnu. Gita Mahatmya 5. Bhagavad Gita comes from the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Ganges is said to emanate from the lotus feet of the Lord. Of course, there is no difference between the mouth and the feet of the Supreme Lord, but from an impartial study, we can appreciate that Bhagavad Gita is even more important than the water of the Ganges.
Sarva Upanishado Gavo Dogaha Guapavahandana Parto Vatsa Sudhir Bhokta Dugdam Gitamritam Mahat.
This Gita Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita, the essence of all the Upanishads, is just like a cow, and Lord Krishna, who is famous as a coward boy, is milking this cow. Arjuna is just like a calf, and learned scholars and pure devotees are to drink the nectarian milk of Bhagavad Gita. Gita Mahatmya 6.
Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Edo Ekita Eva Eko Antrastasya Rahaniyani Karmapi Ekam Tasya Devasya Seva.
Gita Mahatmya 7. In this present day, people are very much eager to have one scripture, one God, one religion, and one occupation. Therefore, ekam shastram devaki putra gitam. Let there be one scripture only, one common scripture for the whole world, Bhagavad Gita. Eko devo devaki putra eva. Let there be one God for the whole world, Sri Krishna. Eko mantras tasya namami. And one hymn, one mantra, one prayer, the chanting of his name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Karmapyekam tasya devasya seva. And let there be one work only, the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
To continue page one of the introduction, we can do the Mangalacharanam prayers and we... What translation or not? Yes? Okay. Page one. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Jnana Jamashavahariya Chakshra Unvetam Yena Asmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantramam. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. When will Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who has established within this material world the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet?
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagranatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Kalijana Sahitam Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagranatam Vitam.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master and unto the feet of all Vaishnavas. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami, along with his elder brother Sanatana Goswami, as well as Raghunatha Das and Raghunatha Bhakta, Gopala Bhakta, and Srila Jiva Goswami. I offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, along with Advaita Acharya, Gadadhara, Srivasa, and other associates. I offer my respectful obeisances to Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna, along with their associates, Sri Lalita and Vishakha. For obvious reasons, Srila Prabhupada's pranam prayers are not printed in this book, but they would go in this place, in this order. And I suggest we do those since we're dependent on his translation as it is. So let's do those now.
Om Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanandane Namaste Sarvadevam Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatadeshatarane
हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगते गोपेशा गोपिता कांता राधा नंदन नमस्ते.
O my dear Krishna, you are the friend of the distressed and the source of creation. You are the master of the gopis and the lover of Radharani. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavani Shari Vrishmanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare. I offer my respects to Radharani, whose bodily complexion is like molten gold, and who is the queen of Vrindavan. You are the daughter of Queen Vrishnavani, and you are very dear to Lord Krishna.
Vancha Kalpa Dhruvyascha Kripasindhu Devacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. They can fulfill the desires of everyone, just like
Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
I offer my obeisances to Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Sri Vasa, and all others in the line of devotion.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Continuing on page 795 of chapter 18. Conclusion, the perfection of renunciation, text 1.
Arjuna Vacha Sanyasya Mahabaho Tatvam Ichchami Veditum Jagasya Cha Rishikesha Prithakeshi Nisudana.
Arjuna said, O mighty armed one, I wish to understand the purpose of renunciation, Jaga, and of the renounced order of life, Sannyasa, O killer of the Keshi demon, master of the senses.
Sri Bhagavan Vacha Kamyanam Garmanam Nasam Sanyasam Kaviyomidhu Sarva Karma Padyagam Pradus Jagam Vichakshana.
The Supreme Personality of God has said, the giving up of activities that are based on material desire is what great learned men call the renounced order of life, Sannyasa. Giving up the results of all activities is what the wise call renunciation, Yaga.
Yajyam doshavadityeke karma prahur manishnaha yadmidana karma na jajam inti chakare.
Some learned men declare that all kinds of free activities should be given up as faulty.
Yet other sages maintain that acts of sacrifice, charity, and renounce should never be abandoned. Nishchayam shunume tatram jagi bharata sattama jago hi purusha vyagra trivena sampakirtitai.
O best of Bharatas, now hear my judgment about renunciation. O tiger among men, renunciation is declared in the scriptures to be on three kinds.
Yadnanantapakarvam natyajyam kayam devatat yadnanam tapaschayva arnani manishinam.
Acts of sacrifice, charity, and penance are not to be given up. They must be performed. Indeed, sacrifice, charity, and penance purify the evil of great souls.
Etaniyati tu karmani sangam jatva palani cha kartavyaniti me parta nishtitam matamutamam.
All these activities should be performed without attachment or any expectation of results. They should be performed as a matter of duty, O son of Pratha. That is my final opinion.
Niyatasya tu sannyasa karmano nupadhavet mohatasya parityagas tamasa parikirtita.
Prescribed duty should never be renounced. If one gives up to prescribed duties because of illusion, such renunciation is said to be illiberal.
Yat karma kaya klesha mayatyayet sakritaradasam yagam naivatyagatidanamhe.
Anyone who gives up his prescribed duties as troublesome or out of fear or love and discomfort is said to have renounced the moment of passion.
Such an action never leads to the elevation of renunciation. Karyam deva yat karma niyatam kriyate jana sangam kya tvapanam jaiva satra kya sarapito maha.
O Arjuna, when one performs prescribed duty only because it ought to be done and renounces all material association and all attachment to the fruit,
His renunciation is said to be the mode of goodness.
Nat veshti yakshalam karma, kushalena nasrachitate, yagi sattvas marishto, medagi jam samshaya.
The intelligent renouncer situated in the mode of goodness, neither hateful of inauspicious work nor attached to auspicious work, has no doubts about work.
Nahi deha vrita sakyam ratam kamariya sheshata yastu kama palam tyagi satyagi yadhiyate.
It is indeed impossible for an embodied being to give up all activities, but he who renounces the fruits of actions is called one who has truly renounced.
Anishtam ishtam nishtram cha Shrividiram karmana param bhavati atya niram yaya
nata sanyasinam pachit. For one who has not renounced the threefold fruits of action, desirable and undesirable and mixed, accrue after death. But those who are in the renounced order of life have no such result to suffer or enjoy.
Panchayatani mahabhaho karanam yugo
O mighty Arjuna, according to the Vedanta, there are five causes for the accomplishment of all action. Now learn of these from me.
Adhishtanam dharadartam karanam ca prithagrinam vividhashtra prakrishtha daivam ca vata panchamam.
The place of action, the body, the performance, the various senses, the many different kinds of endeavor, and ultimately the super soul. These are the five factors of action.
Sharira vamano kriya karma prarabhate naha nyayam bhavitam va panchayate tasheva.
Whatever right or wrong action a man performs by body, mind, or speech is caused by these five factors.
Tatraivam sati kartaram atmanam devalam priha pashyatya karta buddhyatvam nasapashyati dharmati.
Therefore, one who thinks himself the only doer, not considering the five factors, is certainly not very intelligent and cannot see things as they are. And now, we have...
Just came in asking for you to take one shloka from this chapter 18, beginning last week.
Knowledge, the object of knowledge, and the knower are the three factors that motivate action. The senses, the work, and the doer are the three constituents of action. According to the three different modes of the material nature, there are three kinds of knowledge, action, and performer of action. Now hear them from me.
That knowledge
by which one undivided spiritual nature is seen in all living entities, though they are divided into innumerable forms, we should understand the mode of goodness.
Veti sarveshu kriyeshu kamidanam vidyatasam.
The type of living entity, you should understand to be in the mode of passion.
And that knowledge by which one is attached to one kind of work and they all are wrong, without knowledge of the true truth, and who is very meager, is said to be the abode of darkness.
That action which is regulated is formed without attachment, without love or hatred, and without desire for fruit of results, is said to be in the mode of goodness.
Religion to be religion, and religion to be irreligion, under the spell of illusion and darkness,
and strives always in the wrong direction, O Bharata, is the mode of ignorance.
Vidyaya Haritne, Manapanayaya, Yodhina Vichariya, Nitya Parasati.
O Panavikata, that information is unbreakable, which is sustained with steadfastness by your practice, and which thus controls the activity of the mind, life, and senses, is a determination in the mode of goodness.
Yat Ramakam,
from that determination by which one holds fast to fruitful results in religion, economic development, and sense gratification, is of the nature of passion, O Arjuna.
Yayasvapnam bhayam-shvapnam vishadam madhavetra namanam chaturvindha vritisa-vartalasi.
And that determination which cannot go beyond dreaming, fearfulness, lamentation, morosity, and delusion, such unintelligent determination, O son of Pita, is in the mode of darkness.
Sukham vidhāyam śrīmare bhara-rakṣava amyāsā-vṛta-yatra bhūtrāntam-tali-vacchati.
O best of Bhagavatas, now please hear from me about three kinds of happiness by which the conditioned soul enjoys, and by which it sometimes comes to the end of all distress.
Yatra-vṛta-yatra bhūtrāntam-tali-vacchati.
That which is the beginning may be just like poison, but at the end is just like nectar, and which awakens one's self-realization
is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness.
That happiness is derived from contact of the senses with their objects, and which appears like an effort at first, but poison at the end, is said to be the nature of passion. And that happiness which is blind to self realization, which is delusion from beginning to end, which arises from sleep, laziness, and delusion, is said to be the nature of ignorance. There is no being existing, either here or among the Trinidad's high paradigm existence, which is free from these three modes born of material nature.
Brahma Kshatriya Shudrana Tavarantava Karmani Vaikokhtami Sasara Tavarayame.
Brahman, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras are distinguished by the qualities born of their own nature in accordance with the material modes of chastiser of the enemy. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, harmony, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness. These are the natural qualities by which Brahman has worked.
Sharam Vidyodhidhaksya Yudhita Pradhanam Nāmīśa Vāvasya Tachantrana Samādhajam.
Heroism, power, determination, resourcefulness, courage in battle, generosity, and leadership are the natural qualities of work for the Kshatriyas.
Kṛṣṇa-vakṣa-nādhyam Vaiśyaram Samādhajam
O
former God protection and business are the natural work for the righteous, and this should present their labor and service to us. By following his orders and work, every man can become perfect. Now please hear from me how this can be done.
Thank you.
shastam paramabhiyam.
Though engaged in all kinds of activities, my pure devotee, under my protection, reaches the eternal and imperishable abode by my grace. In all activities, just depend upon me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, you will be fully conscious of me. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. If you do not act according to my direction and do not fight, then you will be falsely directed. By your nature, you will not be engaged in warfare. Under illusion, you are now declining to act according to my direction. But compelled by the worst one of your own nature, you will act all the same, O son of me. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities, who are seated as on a machine made in a computer language. O Vyanamarata, surrender unto him utterly. By his grace you will attain transcendent peace and supreme and eternal abode. Thus I have explained to you the knowledge still more unfinished. Deliberate on this fully, and then do what wishes you to do. Because you are my very dear friend, I am speaking to you my supreme instruction, the most unending and honorable of all. Hear this from me, for it is for your own benefit. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage to me. Thus you will come to me without ever fail. I promise you this is called for my very dear friend. One of the flames is the green secret to the devotees. Pure devotion
Somebody born in People will die before it's our turn.
Krishna is saying that anyone who preaching this message to others, and help in preaching this message to others, he is most dear. So, Lord, the most dear to Krishna, and that is the thing to be most dear.
Text for you too. That understanding which considers your religion to be religion and religion to be your religion under the spell of illusion and darkness and strives always in the wrong direction of some of them. It is in the mode of ignorance. I was having a conversation with my uncle on Monday before he left. He asked me a lot of questions about the philosophy that I was studying. And oftentimes his comment was, what I think and my opinion is. And so in that reference, he considered that which is to be religious to be something beyond his understanding or even mundane to some degree. And I also run across this experience with individuals that I counsel, they also sometimes engage in activities which are irreligious, considering them to be very religious, and they frown upon those who engage in religious activities, and they consider that to be irreligious. So that derives an meaning from that.
Text 42. Shamudastava shocham shantiraya vameraja yadam vijyanam astikyam brahma karma suhavajam. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness. These are the natural qualities by which the Dhammas work. So I thought this is a nice verse because these are qualities that we can aspire for. Because Prabhupada said the Vaishnava is even is even greater than Brahma. So Vaishnava has the qualities of Brahma. So these are nice. I don't have these qualities, but these are nice things that I can try and aspire for.
Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your obeisance to me. This will come to you without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Then Krishna is surprised the process here. Pretty simple process. So I was 78. Natha Yogeshwar Krishna Yatparto Naradara Tatra Shri Vijaya Bhutir Ruvaniti Nitir Matemama. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, they would also serve the ominous victory, extraordinary power, and morality. That is my opinion. And this I chose it because it's sort of, for me, the gist was that, you know, I cannot really preach, I don't have all these qualities. But like Prabhupada said, I said in the devotion that don't forget Krishna and don't forget his devotees and everything will turn out okay. So if I can just hang on to Krishna and his devotees, and then eventually everything will turn out okay. And I can procrastinate, right? So that is it. So a very hopeful message from me, I guess. Because anyway.
This is text 55. Bhaktiyam vijati yamyas chasmi tattva tatomam tattva jhava vishuti tat amantram. One can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me, by such a devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. The reason I like this verse is because just by chanting Hare Krishna Mantra, we can develop the devotional service process is very easy, and we can go very easily to the kingdom of God.
No, hi.
Yeah.
Yatukame Prasuna Karma, Shankarne Gepra Praha, Kritya Pura Sayam, Taruk Rajasim, Udhadapan. But actions performed with great effort are one seeking to gratify his desires and enacted from the sense of false ego is called action in the mode of passion. The reason I'm reading this is to, I want to request Swamiji to, when you speak about this, would you please clarify how one should have any desire? I mean,
no desire.
Any desire, like, you know, my car is, for example, my car is falling apart, you know, I need a new car, or my wife needs a new dress. So, the desires, and where, how should we? How should we measure our desires? So what? Here he says, no, you work to gratify your desires from false ego, but I mean, you need a car, you need a nice dress once in a while. You know. So, what in your opinion, what is it we should read from this? So, if you could kindly clarify.
Try. Kam karoti vachalam pangun langayate garim yakripa tamaham vande shri guru nirdhayam
Hare Krishna
Krishna Krishna Hare Hare
Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
It's going to be 1854. It was a good year. 1854. Brahma-bhuta prasanatma.
Brahma-bhuta prasanatma.
Brahma-bhuta prasanatma.
Brahma-bhuta prasanatma.
Na sochati na kankshati.
Na sochati na kankshati.
Samasarvesha bhuteshu.
Samasarvesha bhuteshu.
Mabhaktim labhate param.
Mabhaktim labhate param.
For one who is thus transcendentally situated, at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed towards every living entity. In that state he attains pure devotional service unto me. Prabhupada's purport. To the impersonalist, attaining the Brahma-Bhuta stage, becoming one with the Absolute is the last word. But for the personalist or pure devotee, one has to go still further to become engaged in pure devotional service. This means that one who is engaged in pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord is already in the state of liberation called Brahma-bhuta, oneness with the Absolute. Without being one with the Supreme, the Absolute, one cannot render service unto Him. In the Absolute conception, there is no difference between the served and the servitor. If the distinction is there in a higher spiritual sense. In the material conception of life, when one works for sense gratification, there is misery. But in the absolute world, when one is engaged in pure devotional service, there is no misery. And the devotee in Krishna consciousness has nothing for us to lament or desire. Since God is full, a living entity who is engaged in God's service and Krishna consciousness becomes also full in himself. He is like a river cleansed of all dirty water. Die. So there's a story that during the harvest time in India, one man was sitting under a tree like that in the shade, and one Englishman came and said, "Sir, you know, why are you doing here? You know, why don't you, get up? Now it's harvest time, and everybody's working very hard, and there's a very good opportunity to get a job. You can go and very easily get some occupation like that." Well, the man said, "Well, why should I want to get occupation?" And the Englishman said, "Well, then you can make money like that." He said, "Well, why do I need money?" He said, "Well, then you can be happy." He said, "Well, I already am happy." You know? So all of our desires, I need this, I need that, I need this, I need that, I need this, you know? It's all produced from a certain perspective, like that. You know, somebody, again, a story is after the airline, Air Korea Airlines magazine. Because Bhagavad Gita says that actions and reactions are created by material nature. You know, this happens, that happens, this happens. But the happiness and distress are created by the living entity. So we're trying to achieve happiness and avoid distress because they have a certain perspective, like that. In Korea, in the mountains, very remote place, in the village. One boy found a very nice horse with a saddle and everything. And the law in that area was that if nobody claimed it within 3 days, it was yours. It was a very poor place, very remote, there's no animals like that. So nobody claimed it, and it belonged to the boy, his father, his family, and everybody told the father, "Oh, you're so fortunate." And he said, "Maybe." You know? Then about 3 days later, the boy was riding the horse, a little arrogant, hit the horse, and it kicked him off, and he broke his leg. You know? And then, there's no doctors. They put it together the best they could, but they understood this boy's going to be, have to have a hard time walking his whole life. You know? So everybody told the father, "Oh, you're so unfortunate." And he said, "Maybe." Yeah. So 3 days later, the emperor's captain came through with soldiers and captured all the young men and put them in iron collars and chains and took them off to fight in the foreign war. And everybody knew they would never see their sons again. You know? But one boy couldn't go, because he had a broken leg. So the only person in the whole town who had a son was one man. Everybody said, "Oh, you're so fortunate." And he said, "Maybe." So what is happiness? What is distress? It depends on your perspective. I want this, so I don't want that. I want this, I don't want that. So we're not talking about Brahma-bhuta is a stage of neutrality. At that point we realize the whole material nature is just a reflection. There's nothing here, really. The Buddhists say, they're into Brahma Nirvana, painted fruits do not satisfy hunger. Right? So at this point we realize that all these things, St. Francis, he said this body is an ass. Say donkey sometimes. He said, "This body is an ass that we ride through this world. Don't spend all of your time taking care of an ass. Getting a nice haircut for the ass, looking for a nice sweater for the ass. Putting the ass up on a platform and saying, 'Come, see my ass.'" some lipstick, like that, it's not us, right? We can exist without all of this. In the movie The Matrix, this is what's happening. We're just caught in this thing. We understand by Sankhya through the Ahankara, then I identify with this world. I'm here. I'm the master. Then our intelligence comes, Buddhi, and we understand things. I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that. It's very subtle, very profound. In psychology, you can go really appreciate how profound it is. It carries us through many lifetimes, our intelligence, our Buddhi. Who am I? And then we have more desire to be involved, then thoughts come. We think this, his cake is bigger than my cake, how can I get his cake? Like that. And so then manas comes. More covering. You want to be more involved? Okay, you get a gross body. And now you can really get involved like that. Space, touch, fire, vision, taste, smell. Until finally you're here with all your desires and all your understanding and all these things like that. It's a whole conception. But it's all based upon one concept of life. As I am the enjoyer, I'm separate, I'm independent. And we're struggling this way and that way to try and make it real, but it never satisfaction. Prabhupada says that not one person ever in the whole history of the universe at any time has ever become happy by gratifying his senses. Right? So you think, well, maybe this way, maybe that way. All of Maya's pleasures and distractions are temporary. Right? They all come to an end. But she has an unlimited number of them. You know? Oh, you're worried, my car is going to break down. What happens if my car breaks down? Then I can't go to work. I have to borrow more money. My credit cards are already overloaded. Then my wife will leave me. My wife leaves me. Then, you know, my dog won't get any food. And after that, my dog will starve. The house will begin to stink. And after that, what will happen? Neighbors will complain. The police will come. Take me away. I'll go to jail. Yeah. Yeah. Or else, well, you know, this will happen and it's all good. So all these different perspectives are there. When we come to this stage of detachment from all these things, we get relief. You know? This Brahma-Bhuta stage is like waking up in the morning and there's nobody in the world but you. You can do anything you want to. You can go to the movies, eat pizza, you know, anything you want to do like that. And so it's very nice, you know. But after some time, it's boring, right? Yeah. So the Brahma-Bhuta stage is good. It's relief from all these limited, temporary agitations like that. I mean, we feel happy in this stage of desirelessness. Na sochati, na kankshati. Material desires. Right? Yeah. But then, atmaramas chamunayo nirgrantha api rukame hoitukim kurmanti hoitukim bhakti itam bhuto gunoharahe. It's the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's explained, the Supreme Lord, He has so many transcendental qualities like that, eternal. Every single one of them is eternal, never comes to an end. You start to investigate Krishna's smile, there's no limit to that. There's on, on, on. Somebody else investigates his how he plays the flute. There's no limit to that. It goes on and on and on. Right? Because of these, everybody wants to participate in these. Right? You know? Yes, I used to work for a carpenter, a Swedish guy, Menerlund. He did a lot of like custom work. So somebody came in one time with a crystal about like this big, you know, that big around. It was kind of a jagged thing. It was very nice. It was some kind of complicated thing. A little rough cut. They said, I had this, but you know, I want to put it someplace so it looks good. So it sat there for a couple of days. Then Gunnar Lind took a piece of wood about like this big, about that thick, but really good quality hardwood, very nice brown with black streaks like that. And then he cut into the thing in the middle about across the angle like this with a saw. Then little silicone glue inside to push the crystal inside to fit very nicely snug. So there was this nice square piece of wood, and the crystal cut at an angle right across it like that. You know, so it produces this very, very nice contrast of angles and textures like that. And charged the guy $100. You know? Something like that. It was something. It wasn't cheap. You know, but you know. So this is our position. We discover that constitutionally our position is to glorify Krishna, amplify Krishna, illuminate Krishna, and it's so. You know, it's so wonderful that we can become motivated. So then we have desire, you know? We have desire to glorify Krishna. Yeah? And it comes out naturally, it goes on increasing more and more like that. So in that respect, if I'm in the material world, right? And if I'm here, if I'm Arjuna, you know, then Krishna has a whole plan. And I want to participate in that. I want to use my abilities as a manager or kshatriya. So Prabhupada says a kshatriya has to have good dress, respect, and weapons. And he walks up someplace, everybody says like, yes sir, what do you want? You know? So for your job, then you need things, yeah. So that's the whole trick of Bhagavad Gita, is not to walk away from everything. That's perfection of renunciation, right? To use everything for Krishna. What is Upa Goswami saying in Bengali? Yeah. Nirbanda Krishna Sambande Yukta Vairagya Uchite. You know, this is renunciation. It's a very subtle point. When people talk about renunciation and sense gratification. But higher than this is Nirbande Krishna Sambande Yukta Vairagya. Yukta Vairagya Uchite. Use everything for Krishna. Whatever is disconnected from Krishna, reconnected to Krishna. That's renunciation. Yeah? So your car. Do I need transportation or not? Well, I want it for my own selfish, stupid, egoistic ideas like that, which will never make me happy. Or I want it for some actual practical service. Krishna's in this world, I'm in this world, I can make a nice temple or publish books, you know, or go see people. So yeah, I need a car, you know, or I need a wristwatch. Or my family, they have a certain tendency, position. my children are mostly demons, but they're dancing, you know. Okay, so they should go to school, they should learn to become lawyers, you know, lawyers, and then they can become demons in a civilized way, and they dance, you know. So yeah, everybody has its position, and you can, I won't spend so much time helping these demons, you know, but get them on their way, like that. You know, it's because they're making progress, and if I help at this point, they can, rather than being thieves, they can become lawyers, and then they'll understand what's going on, and, you know, in a civilized fashion, they can make some advancement. You know? So this is the main point, you know. It's a whole art, science. And in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it's a summary, but it's not described in enough detail. You know, he's just given the basic principles, right? Actually, not even that, really. It's very, very basic. But in the third chapter, he's telling him, okay, now you do things for me. What do? You follow your varnashram system. And that's Arjuna knows that. It's so much detail. So many dharma shastras. He knows. And so he says, okay, in the beginning, Arjuna is quoting all these things, but for a selfish reason. I don't want to fight because this will happen, that will happen, this will happen. Well, I do want to fight, but for my own gratification. So Krishna says, no, fight. Follow your dharma, but without any kind of selfish motivation. Mayi sarvani karmani. Do it all for me. Right? Yeah? So that's it. Okay?
So if I understand you right, you're saying it's okay to be having desire as long as you know...
It's not okay. That's hard. It's unavoidable.
Unavoidable. Okay.
That's the nature of the soul.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, only a dead man has no desires. Yeah. That's desireless. Uddhava came to Vrindavan. He was trying to convince all the gopis to give up their attachment to Krishna because that was causing them suffering. He said, you should rise to the platform of Brahma Nirvana, like that, Brahma Gyan. You know, he was trying to describe it to the gopis, and the gopis couldn't understand it, and they said, wow, it sounds like what you're talking about is kind of being dead or something like that. He said, no, no, no. He said, well, look, Radharani is our leader. Let's go see her. Maybe she can understand what you're talking about. So they went down there, and Radharani is tossing these yellow flowers into the blue Jamuna, and totally, you know, some other world. So they're calling Radha, Radha. She comes back, yes. Oh, Krishna sent this messenger. And so she looks at him and says, is he coming back? And Uddhava knows if he says no, she's going to die right in front of his eyes. He says, oh, yes, yeah. She's coming back, yeah. Oh. So he explains everything to her, and she's listening. And finally she said, well, all this conversation, but tell me frankly, which would you rather have, your Brahma Gyan or Krishna as your friend? So he surrenders. He said, Krishna is my friend. Said, okay. Yeah. So this is the highest platform of, you know, surrendering everything, yeah, to Krishna. It's normal, it's natural. And it goes on expanding and expanding like that. So there is desire. But now it's all in a sick condition. You know, somebody who's like an alcoholic, he thinks, well, the problem is I'm not, and I tried that, was it, you know, whiskey and soda. And I tried, you know, beer and soda. So I had all these things, you know, and I discovered the real problem is the water. He tries something else stupid. You know? He suffers. So he's desiring out of ignorance, desiring so many stupid things, he goes on suffering. Yeah? So he has to give up those desires. But the real desire is to do good things. Just to do good things. You should never give those up. It's kind of the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. But Bhagavad Gita is just the ABCs. It doesn't give you much real practical knowledge. Basically, don't give up your system, your position in social life. Be a good daughter. Be a good father. Be an honest citizen. Protect. Don't renounce America. Try and be a good American. Try and, you know, arrange things so it goes on properly. You know, but then after that, there's so many details. You know, and now Lord Chaitanya comes after this. Next comes Srimad Bhagavatam. There's so many details in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is about like 18 Bhagavad Gitas or more, 25, and more details. You know? Then Lord Chaitanya comes and gives Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is even a more intense study, and he basically is saying that, you know, just chant Hare Krishna, right? Follow this process. Prabhupada comes as a representative and gives a very practical program. Get up in the morning, chant Hare Krishna, worship the deity a little bit, read some books like that, do some job, and then, you know, you'll start to get a very good perspective on how Krishna will guide you. He'll drive your chariot. How to make all your activities favorable for Krishna consciousness. Like that. Yeah? And as it goes on, you become more and more connected. And until, you know, you're there with Krishna, and problems are coming like this and that, and he's directing you, duck, turn left, shoot here, go like that. Yeah? Yeah. Okay?
26 Bhagavad Gita's.
On the wall.
18,000 divided by 700.
Okay. Exactly?
25.7.
Okay. Guess some of those. Okay. I guess toss a nectar of devotion. Yeah. Balance it out. So guys, this Gita Jayanti. Yeah, Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. And it's Sarva Shastra Sar. It's the essence of all this Vedic wisdom. Because if you read the Vedas, they're so bewildering. It's, you know, prayers to Indra and so many things like that, yoga, and almost all describing fruitive activities or just becoming disgusted with everything. And that's the jnana process. We like just hearing about how everything is very nasty and ridiculous and becoming, giving it all up. So this is and pretty much in the bodily concept of life many times. In strict Orthodox Jewish tradition, they don't pierce the body with the rings like that and stuff because they believe that when you put the body in the ground like that, and at some point, who is it? Somebody's Peter? Someone's going to blow the trumpet, Gabriel. They're going to blow the trumpet, and all the bodies will raise incorruptible. And the graves will open and all the bodies will raise up incorruptible. So if you have holes in your nose, you have to go to heaven forever with a hole in your nose like that. So the same idea is there. Huh?
If you're cremated.
Then there's nothing. The ashes go out like that. It's going to float around in heaven like that. So it's a different concept. And the Vedas, very confusing. So Krishna gets confidential knowledge beyond the body to start with. Oh, well, okay. Then more confidential knowledge that the non-material body is related to the super soul, you know, through our natural relationship is to coordinate our activities with him. He's our leader. We aren't nothing, but we're in coordination with him. That's about as far as the Bhagavad Gita goes. You know, liberation. Moksha Yishma Masajaha. They bring in these promising liberation like that. And then we start Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jat. Bhagavad Gita ki jat. Pagasama mantra ki? Vahranda Hari Bhavu. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Parastaya Buddhalesh Madara. Sāmi. Oh my God. She's bigger arms. Isn't this the season? There's